Okay, get your Bible. If you got a Bible, turn to page 192. That should be Ephesians chapter 4, if you have your own Bible. And we're going to be reading out the New King James Version here this morning. If you want a King James to take with you, we got both. This is what I call the South Georgia edition. It talks more like I do. So no offense to the others. Been around for a lot of years, and we grew up on it. But I just like this one, and don't, you know, you have there's a lot out there today to pick from, and be careful, though, of the translations. I'll just say that. I won't use them all, but this one I like. What I want to talk to you today about is becoming a brand new you. Becoming a brand new you. I heard something on TV when I was studying this, and they were talking about something entirely different, but they used the word baby. B-A-B-Y, and they said it means be a better you. Now, everybody on earth can do that. Everybody on earth needs to do that. We need to become better people, right? More loving, kinder, more patient. I hate that word. I don't like wait either way you spell it. I mean, it gets personal, you know, but we need that. And if becoming a born-again Christian is the beginning of the greatest adventure of a person's life, that's not the end, that's the beginning. And I'll be there in just a minute, but I want to share one verse with you real quick out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. One version there says, are becoming new. And when you think about it, now instantly we're born again. No question about that. When a person repents of their sins, asks Jesus to forgive them, that quick they're saved, right? They're instantly born again. But what about them old habits? I don't know about your experience, but it took some time to get control over some of them, you know, get where they need to be. And that's out of my life. And again, different ones have different situations. In my case, I was instantly cured or healed or delivered, whatever word is right, from cursing. My wife tells me that I used to curse every breath. Now, I just can't imagine that. But I didn't do that. God did. Okay? But now, I've met people who still, quote, unquote, have a problem with that. Sometimes, quote, let a word slip. And I could say, well, wait a minute. God delivered me. But if I talk to them long enough, I find out they're strong in an area where I'm not. You follow me? Mm-hmm. You know, that's an area that they're still working on. I've got victory in that area, but there's areas of my life that I don't have victory in that they do. So I'm learning something here, but we need to constantly work on becoming a better you. All of us. You're at Ephesians 4:17. Is that right? Page 192. Paul here writing to the church at Ephesus says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And let me pause there for a second. Now, ignorance is not an ugly word. It's not like calling somebody stupid. Now, that would be ugly. Ignorant just means you don't know. I'm ignorant of flying a jet airplane. I'm ignorant of, well, a lot of things, really, when you think about it. But that's not ugly. He's just saying they've never been told about the gospel. So when he's saying they're ignorant, he's not saying it negatively. But, now, verse 19, let's go on a little bit. Who being past feeling have given themselves over lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, notice this now, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. Why do they say men or say women there? No, I was kidding. The old person, right? Putting off the old person, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, for which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What he's saying here is now that a person becomes born again, things need to start changing in their life. If you become born again, and you're going to have an opportunity to do that today before you leave here, if you so desire. But if you've never been born again, of course, then it's all kind of what we call Greek to you. I mean, the Bible is spiritually written, has to be spiritually discerned. A person that's not born again will never understand the Bible. Kind of like me reading the manual of a 747 jet. You know, I wouldn't have any idea what I'm looking at. In fact, I'll narrow it down. The laptop I got out there in the motorhome, some of that's Greek to me. But thank God he gave me people in my life that can handle it. And we even got programmed now. They can take over my computer from the office anywhere in the world and work in mine and straighten out my mess and get it working again. Well, see, I'm ignorant to all that. I haven't learned that yet. But if I were going to work computers, I would need to learn that. See what I'm saying? If I want to be a born-again Christian, if I want to be a successful, victorious born-again Christian, then I need to learn what it's about. I need to get in the Bible and learn it and put off my former conduct, verse 22 says, put on the new man. Okay? Here's some instructions as we go on down in verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. I ain't going to say nothing about dispatchers. But anyway, let each one. I have known some honest dispatchers in my 20 years over the road. It's almost an oxymoron, but not quite. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. He said, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. What he's saying there is, in this effort to put on a brand new you, to become a better person, we've got to quit letting Satan take control of our mind and our thinking. And he'll do that with anybody that allowed him. Have you ever thought about, and let's just use this for instance. If somebody really makes you mad, if you get, you know, angry, somebody just makes you mad for some reason. Sometimes we dwell on that. We just kind of dwell on that. What happens? We get madder and madder and madder. And that's where road rage comes in sometimes. The person is taken out on probably didn't know anything that happened. Now, not if it's not road rage, you might walk, the next person walks up to you and says, how you doing? You go, bah! You know. They don't even know, what did I do? Right? So this is what he's talking about. Is don't give place to the devil. Don't let him have that time in your mind. Say, nope, I'm not going to do that. And I have to work on that just like you do. People make you angry or whatever, or something's wrong, somebody does you wrong, cheats you, whatever. Satan will build on that if we let him. We have to let it go. And sometimes it can be a friend that does that. It can be a minister that lets you down. The more you think about it, then every one of them is the same way, just like some of the people think all truck drivers are the same. And I beg their difference. I make sure I make a point of every interview I have with the media to talk about you guys that are family people, business people. But what do they see on TV? They don't see any of you, right? Good news don't sell. Somebody told me nobody would go to a NASCAR race if nobody ever had a wreck. I don't know that that's true, but think about it. You know, that's the exciting part, going around and around the track, don't do nothing. Whoa, look, a 10-car pileup. That's what we want to see. We're kind of geared to the negative, aren't we? But as we become a better person, as we study the Bible, as we walk into this thing, some of that, all that stuff will slowly but surely drop off to where that doesn't interest me anymore kind of thing. All right, so we don't want to give place to the devil. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, for what is good But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, I've learned one of the greatest ministries that I can do is to the server in the restaurant. Now, you guys on the road all the time, you eat all the time in truck stops or restaurants, anywhere. It doesn't matter what kind of restaurant it is. You ever had one come up to you that was really just nasty? You ever wonder why she or he's nasty? Now, I mean attitude-wise. Could be the person that was just ahead of you. Could be God sent us in there to minister to that person to help them have a little better day. Now, don't get me wrong. My flesh don't want to do that. I want my food. I want it right, and I want it now. Right? I'm human. That's my flesh. My spirit man would say, I try to see their name tag. John, Jill, Sam, Sue, whatever. We're about to say grace over our meal. Is there anything we can pray with you about? You'd be amazed how that'll change things. My wife and I were in a restaurant not long ago, and we said that. In fact, she said it. My wife did. And the lady almost broke. She squatted down by our table and started telling us an issue in her life. And she walked away to keep from crying. She needed somebody just to love her. Now, my old flesh says, you go get my food, bring it out here, right? Right. But my spirit man says, love this person. I don't know what was going on. I don't remember now, but it was something to her was catastrophic. You know, it was a terrible thing in her life. Becoming a better you. Three steps I want to point out to become a new you. Becoming a better person. First of all, a person has to accept Christ. Look at page 93. Very familiar to a lot is John chapter 3. I love this story in the Bible because Jesus, John's recording Jesus' conversation with a guy called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler in the synagogue, so to speak. He was probably, as we would say, in church every time the door was open, right? He was at the synagogue going through the ritual, right? And if we're not careful, it'll just be a ritual to us. I have to watch my prayer time in the morning that it's something I got to do. That's no good, right? What if I only spoke to Jan, my wife, if I had to, or if I wanted something? That wouldn't be no relationship, would it? Our time with our Father, we become a better you, a new you, I should say, will take on time with the Father. And you got all, drivers, you got all the time in the world going down the road. Two things. The great part of your job is you got a lot of time to think. The bad side of your job is you got a lot of time to think. What do you think about? And that's our choice, isn't it? Are we thinking about that guy where we just loaded? Or the fuel attendant where we just fueled? Or are we saying, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in my life? One is, you're at John chapter 3, verse 3. John, Nicodemus had asked Jesus how to go to heaven, right? He said this in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus, well, I'll tell you what, let's read. Start at 1. No need to start in the middle, is there? Let me get over here because I print all mine out so save some time, I thought. John chapter 3, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Teacher, we know, or some version says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one could do the signs you do unless God is with him. So he'd been around, right? In verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So to become a new you, the first step is becoming born again. That's why I keep using those words, born again. I like to think of my age. We was talking about age with some fellas a while ago. How old are you and all that stuff? And I was born again in 71, so can I just start counting there? Forget the rest of it. But no, we become born again. He said, unless we are, we cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see means to perceive or comprehend. We can't even understand it, you see. That's what I mean about reading the Bible and not born again. Well, how do I become born again? Well, we'll find that out before the meeting's over. Look at page 181 now, 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17, page 181. Reason I want you to look is I want you to take the Bible with you, of course. It's free. Make marks in it, whatever you want to do, and maybe go back and look this over later. And if you need it, just call me and I'll give you all the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore come out from among them, the world, that's what it means, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I love, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We were just sharing earlier with this couple how these people gave us that motorhome out there. And we've got, and you probably got friends that's influential. You know so-and-so that's got a lot of money or a lot of power, a lot of land, a lot of whatever. And that's okay. But here is, if you wanted something to brag about, in my opinion, when God Almighty says, you'll be my sons and daughters. You don't get no better than that. You don't get no better than that. My father and your father, if you're born again, owns and operates the universe. If we knew the president, CEO of the company that owns Petro and TA, all of them one now, and we could say his name is John. John's a friend of mine. That'd get you in anywhere, wouldn't it? Just about anywhere. But better than that is saying, my father, not the good man upstairs, right? But my father. Romans said we can call him Abba Father. Abba is a personal term, like we might say daddy. My children call me daddy. Dad, usually followed by I need. But anyway, I thought that would get over when they got grown, but it got bigger. Daddy, I need. Is your pickup available? You know what I mean. But likewise, I go to my father with stuff I can't do, right? And say, Father, I need help. I need this, I need that. And he knows that. The Bible says he knows what we need before we ask, but he wants us to ask. Because that, I don't know about the ladies, but men have a terrible time with pride admitting I need help. What does the AA and all those people say? The first step is realize you got a problem. Right? If we don't think we got a problem, we're not going to God. So one of the steps in becoming a new you is a person, number one, is being born again. Number two, a person must reflect Christ in their life. We need to, it says, don't touch anything unclean. In other words, that tells me to get away from the sinful habits where I used to be. I don't go where I used to go. Not I'm too good to do that. Not I'm a goody two-shoes. I just don't want it. Years ago, I was still driving. I drove over 20 years over the road. And I was telling this guy about, being born again on the CB radio. And by the way, CB means Christian Broadcasting, as far as I'm concerned. And no, I won't turn mine off. In fact, the one out there in the coach is a Connex 33, and it'll talk. In fact, the park brake light flickers when I key the mic, so I just hope it don't set the park brake. That would be a problem. But I was talking to him on the CB, and he said, man, I don't know if I'm willing to give up this and this and this. And I said, you don't have to do that. I don't? No. I said, I still do all the drugs I want, drink all I want, chase all the women I want. He said, man, I want to join your church. I said, you didn't hear me. I said, I do all I want. God changed my wants. My desires have changed. I didn't give up nothing. You hear me? Becoming a new you doesn't say, well, I got to give up this, I got to do it. That's the law. That's law. When I fall in love with Jesus, I just want to serve Him. I didn't give up all the other women that's out there when I married Jan. I don't want no more. Heavenly days, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what these people are thinking about with multiple marriages, man. That's Solomon, 700 mother-in-laws, man. 700 mother-in-laws. He better be rich. But no, you know. Jan's my wife. She's my sweetheart. She's my love. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. No offense, ma'am. But you see, same way with Jesus. I don't want that stuff anymore. It doesn't attract me anymore. Okay? I didn't give it up. So becoming a new you, we will begin to reflect Christ with our life. We don't have to walk around with religious clothes on, so to speak, although I like to do that. I like to have bumper stickers. I like different things because it helps me stay straight. Then I remember, my wife will tell me sometimes in traffic, remember what's on your cap. Remember what's on the motorhome. Remember, oh, yeah. Then I can't do what I wanted. No. On the back of my trailer, I had a sign that said, Christians aren't perfect, just forgive it. That's the last thing you see as I run you off the road, you know. No, not really. But it did make me aware of what was on my truck. When the flesh would say one thing, see, the spirit man becoming a new you, that helped me overcome my flesh. You follow me? And I tell people, that's not on there for you, it's on there for me. To remind me of who I am in Christ. Joe Hunter is not involved anymore. Joe Hunter's not in control anymore. God is. Because I gave Him control, becoming a better me. All right, look at page 199 now, Colossians chapter 2. Learn to walk in the Word. One way to reflect Christ is learning to walk in the Word, and the only way to do that is spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Again, you've got all the time in the world to listen to the Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. The best investment you can ever make as a driver is get the Bible on CD or cassette, whatever. I guess it's all CD anymore. I'm even back in 8-track days myself. I'm like a comedian said the other day, I'm a 8-track guy in an iPod world. We're lost. Man, what these things here will do just blows my mind, but these cell phones. But the only way to do that, one of the ways to do that is going down the road, just let the CD play. And let me say this too. You on CDs heard me say this 1,000 times, but when you go to bed, when you take your break, put a CD of the Bible in, just let it play. Because you're hearing the Word all the time you're sleeping. Think about that. And it's going into your spirit, man. Your conscience is shut down. The negative is shut down. The spirit man is growing. You're learning to walk this Word. You do that, you don't even realize you learned it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, Satan knows that, so he puts fear in other things. Lyrics of songs that we all like, okay? But if you listen to what they're saying, I don't know if we'd want to hear that or not. Because that comes into your spirit man also, because everything you hear goes in there. So to become a new you, we need to learn that. Colossians 2:6, are you there? It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Again, this is talking to a person that's born again. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You guys, you folks, are exposed to every ism and schism in the world. All kinds of religion out there. Don't get trapped in that. There's all kind of stuff out there, and a lot of it don't come close to the Bible. If I or anybody says anything that's not in this word, forget it. Drop it. And you will never offend me by asking me, show me in the Bible where you got what you said. You will not offend me doing that. Because if I can't show you in the word, then you don't need that. Again, it says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. And a lot of them have what we call charisma, people, you know, that people follow them. I'm not talking about anybody in particular now, but they're out there. Television, radio, good grief. I could call some names, but I won't. This biblically, they're not in left field. They're not in the field at all. They're way out yonder. But there's thousands of people following them. Because the people following them don't know the word. And we're too big a hurry to learn it. I'd rather you give it to me. See, I don't want to go through it. And I'm saying my flesh side. Don't want to take the time to study it out to see if it's true or not. But you better, because all eternity rests on it, where you spend eternity. Turn to James 4. Number 3, a person must resist the temptation of the enemy in becoming a new you. Again, James chapter 4, verse 7, page 226. Page 226 in the Little Bible. James is a tell it like it is, guys. It's a sincere meat of the word book. James says this in James 4, 7, and 8. That second word's another one that men have a good problem with. What does it say? What's the second word in James 4, 7? Anybody?
Mine says humble.
Humble. That's even worse. Ours says submit. Humble. Humble. Woo!
See, I've got a different version.
Yeah. But he says, submit to who? God. Or be humble before who? God. Not man. That don't make you a doormat. I had I do very, 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 very few weddings. If I don't talk them out of it, they won't use me. I mean, I'm not talking about getting married. But if I don't say, no, I won't do it, a lot of them will say, no, you're not going to do it. This couple came in and said they wanted me to do their wedding. I said, well, let's talk about that first. I mean, before I commit or you commit, let's talk about that. First thing she said, she hadn't even sat down good. She said, I want you to take the word obey out of your vow. And before she sat down good, I said, I won't do your wedding. She said, why? I said, because what you just said. By the way, the word obey is not in my vow. But I didn't tell her that. Obey or submit doesn't mean becoming a doormat. I submit to authority. I submit to our board of directors. I submit to my pastor. I submit to, and that don't make me any less a man or any less a person. Or any less a leader. I am the spiritual head of our house. That don't make me a dictator. That don't make my wife any less important or any less anything. But we have a problem. But becoming a new you or becoming a better person, we need to learn to submit to God above all. He goes on to say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. How do I do that? I don't have time to read it all, but this story is in Luke chapter 4, page 60 in that book. But how Jesus handled that temptation, would you believe? You know, I'm amazed. Turn to Luke chapter 4. We'll kind of skim that. Page 60. I am amazed at the audacity of Satan. I mean, this guy is stupid. No, that's the wrong word. He's brave. Have you ever played poker or been around poker at all? Okay. Do you know that a good bluff can do what? He can win. He don't have the winning hand, but if they're a good bluff, right? Many a pot has been bought by a bluff, right? We've seen that. Did you know that Satan is a bluff? Did you know, if I had time, I'd show you in the Bible, we can do that afterward if you want to. He's a glorified blowhard. He really is. Now, he has power. I don't want to discredit that. But he doesn't have more power. Rattlesnakes have power too, but I don't play with them. In fact, if I see him in time, I'm going to outrun him. You know? Right? We know that, so we don't go there. You follow me? And when they threaten us, as long as I'm safe, if he can't get out of that cage to where I'm at, I don't worry about him, right? We go to the zoos or whatever, serpentarium they call it, and look at all that. I take my grandchildren often to a place close to home, and, you know, just so they'll recognize snake and different things that's in the wooded area where we live. You know what I'm saying? It's educational. But see, there's a solid glass between us. The whole wall is glass. That snake can't get to me, so I put my hand up there and not worry about it. You know what I'm saying? But now I say, now if that snake wasn't in there, I wouldn't even be in this room. Right? Satan had been caged by God. If we walk in the Word, now don't get me wrong, you can't bluff the bluffer either. But if you're walking in the Word, living in the Word, like Jesus was in Luke chapter 4, he knew who he was. Let me just read a couple of verses, if I may. Are you at Luke 4, verse 1? Then Jesus, being filled with what? Holy Spirit. He's there. That's where we need to be, right? He returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days, he ate nothing. Golly, 40 days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. I guess so. He was a human. That's the human side. And the devil said to him, what? If you're the Son of God. Listen to this. He's talking to God the Son. Yes, he's the Son of God, but he's also God the Son, right? Born of the Virgin Mary, right? Jesus is God. Satan said, if you're the Son of God. If you think, since he tempted Jesus, tried to get him to think he wasn't who he was, don't you think he'll come after us? I mean, Chaplain Joe compared to Jesus, and he goes after Jesus. He's definitely going to come after me. But if I know the Word and know who I am in Christ, not who I am, but who I am in Christ, I can respond the same way. What did Jesus use? If you read this story, the next 13 verses talks about this conversation back and forth with Jesus and the devil. And every time you will find, every time Jesus referred him to the Word. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. You can't mess with me, man. You know what the devil would do if I said, I'm Chaplain Joe? You know what he'd say? Well, big deal. He's not afraid of Chaplain Joe. He's not afraid of Chaplain Tim or Chaplain Kirby. But when you say, it is written, that's different. The Bible says, and you better know what it says, don't bluff a bluffer, right? That don't work. But if you know who you are in Christ and stand on it, and your life will reflect it. Remember we said we need to reflect Christ? He knows who you are, but he'll still try you once in a while. He still comes. And I hope he keeps coming, because I don't want that sucker to think we're friends. Don't get me wrong. I don't enjoy the attacks. I remember every time I get off this exit, I remember many years ago coming to this truck stop right after we started the ministry here, and I wasn't even going to stop here. I was on a trip. But apparently God led me to stop. And I come off the ramp, turned left, and looked in my mirror, and I thought, that trailer don't look right. I had another trailer then, a 20-foot solid black trailer, and I thought, something just don't look right. You know, turn the camera on and the old motor home, and, well, it's back there, but it just don't look right. Pull in the parking lot, and one side of the frame had broke, and the other side was cracked. Had I not stopped, ain't no telling where that trailer would have went about the next good bump I hit, right? So Satan says, now what are you going to do? And I said, call a welder, probably. Apparently God wants to bless a welder around here somewhere. As a result, I called a wrecker from Atlanta to come get it and take it back home, and we went on without it. But had I needed it, you know, had to have it, then I would have just got it fixed. Satan said, I got you. And I said, that's just a bunch of steel, bud. There's plenty more of that. I'm not worried about that. But you see, he comes after us all the time. One place in verse 8, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Get out of my life. You see, even though Jesus was the Word, and is the Word, by the way, John 1:1 says, and Jesus is the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. So Jesus is the Word also. The Word is Jesus. You follow me? There's not four in the Godhead now. I'm not adding another one. Jesus and the Word is one and the same. But if we have the Word in us, then all the power of the Word will work through us. You're not bluffing. You're just saying, hey, bud, I refer you to Jesus, the Word. You get in trouble or something happens, you hire an attorney. Let's say you're getting sued for something. Hope you never do, but if that happens, you hire an attorney, what do you tell the people that come after you? Talk to my attorney, right? Talk to my attorney. My attorney's name is so-and-so. When Satan comes after me, you need to talk to my father. He takes care of the little stuff like you. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus. I walk in the Word. I live in the Word. And whatever God wants to do through this situation, it don't always come out like I want it to. Okay? Okay? Standing at the foot of my granddaughter's bed and watching her die was not the way I wanted that to come out. But I have to say, your will be done. I know you've got a plan. I don't need to understand it, because I never will. I asked my children to trust my judgment, right, when they were growing up, didn't we? Just, I know what I'm doing here. So I have to submit myself to God and say, I don't understand it, Lord, but you know what you're doing, so it's in your hand. So, three things. One, in order to become a new person, the person must accept Christ, become born again. Number two, that person must learn to reflect Christ, live and live a Christian life. Number three, the person needs to learn to resist the temptation from the enemy. And I don't have time to do all that, but read Luke 1, the first 13 verses of chapter 4, and you'll find out exactly how Jesus handled a literal physical attack from the enemy. In there, by the way, the first thing he did, Jesus is coming off of a 40-day fast. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. First thing he said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Where did he address him? Where he was weak. He was hungry. Hungry. Must have been a Baptist. He was going straight for the food, you know. We got a saying, when Baptists meet, Baptists eat. So... But no, we all do, I think. But you see, he resisted him. He said that, he quoted the Bible, said, I refer you to the Word of God. Not in those words, but basically. He said, it is written. So question, how well do you know the word? Don't answer it, just think. Number two, how often do you hear the word? Not read it. How often do you hear the word? We're hearing garbage all day, every day. We're exposed to it. CB, AM, FM, XM, Sirius Radio, music playing on the PA systems in restaurants where we're at. We don't even know we're hearing it, but we're hearing negative stuff all the time. So we need to counter it. Also, how often do you communicate with the Father through Jesus Christ? How often do you talk to God? Is it just when you want something? When you need something? Hopefully not. Hopefully it's on a regular, at least daily basis. The good part about your job, again, is you can talk to God all day long. I mean, they'll think you got wireless. Don't worry about it. I mean, you know. They won't write you off if they see you talking. I always said if somebody put a recorder in my truck, I'd be in the funny farm. Just talking to God. Sometimes talking to the devil. Talking to the devil. I was an owner operator for 10 years. I needed prayer. And I'd be one today, probably, if I was going back to driving. I'd go buy a truck for sale, and Jan would say, don't look over there. You don't need that. I know I don't need that, but you know what I want to do today? What I want to do today is serve God in whatever area He wants me to. You have the opportunity, you as drivers have the opportunity to spread the gospel all over the United States. And you got somebody paying you to do it. We have to raise support in ministry. You are a minister that this company's paying you to take it out there. They just don't know that. The dispatcher thinks they sent you from point A to point B. I like to think God did it. But if you're not born again, none of that don't make any sense. And today I want to close this meeting like I always do. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be, I don't know what it is, but you know, and I don't need to know. If you're not right where you ought to be with God, I want you to pray a prayer with me. We're going to do it out loud with your heads up and eyes open. And comically, I always say, please don't close your eyes to pray if you're driving. You know, nor get on your knees because you might not see me coming. The good part is we can pray anytime, anywhere. Talk to God. This morning, we're going to do what 1 John 1 and 9 says, and that tells us exactly how to be born again. And that is, he said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Plain and simple. We're not going to itemize them. We're just going to say a simple prayer. You say, well, I'm born again. I don't need to do that. That's fine. If you're saved, you're saved. If you know you're saved, if you know, not think or hope, but if you know that if you drop dead, you go to heaven. I know that. I know that. I know that more than I know I'm standing here. But if you don't know that for sure, if the Lord may have revealed something while we've been talking that's not what He wants in your life and you want to get rid of it, now's the time. Nobody will ever know it but you and God, because we just don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to do that. But so we're all going to pray together, even if you need it, don't need it. If you don't want it, just kind of go along with it. Somebody beside you may need it, and thus you're not embarrassed. So I would ask everyone to repeat this little prayer with me, and we'll be closed, and then it's up to you what you do with your life from there on. Of course, you got a prayer line. You can call our office anytime from anywhere, 24 hours a day. Somebody will pray with you. You're not alone. You're not going to go out that door and be alone. It's close as your telephone. And I would bet just about everybody's got one of these boogers hanging on your hip, right? We live by them anymore. But if you would, pray this prayer with me out loud, please. Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I ask You, Lord, to forgive my sin. Forgive me where I've done wrong. Forgive me for straying away. And come into my heart. Help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. I'll know your word. And I believe your word. And I receive your word. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I receive that by faith in your name right now. I am now a born again child of the Most High God. Amen.